Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 12. 12th chapter of Genesis. We'll read the first 8 verses. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house, the land which I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. So shall you be blessed. So shall you be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. The one who curses you will I curse. And you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. He proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. In September, Dr. Barlow, will be coming and taking a month on the subject of the tabernacle. And as we think of the tabernacle, we think of the fact that here is a nation that is worshiping. And now for a background, we would like to take this month and find out about this nation. Who is it that God has given the command to worship him? And so we're going to see the birth of a nation, the development of that nation, the deliverance of that nation, the provisions made for that nation as they travel through the wilderness, and then the laws of that nation. This morning, the birth of the nation. And we're not going to get finished. We're going to finish off tonight. Greg told me he's only going to take 20 minutes. I knew Greg better than that, but I didn't think he was going to take 40 minutes. But anyway, we'll start. Whet your appetite, and I hope you'll come back and find the rest of the story as we consider the life of Abraham, because this is where that nation began as we think of Abraham. And of course, we had promotion Sunday this morning. Promotion means moving up, and that's exactly what we find in the life of Abraham, was the fact that he was moving up. As you pick up different men in the Word of God, there are certain words that stick with you as you think of names that come to you. For instance, Moses, meekness. You think of Samuel, integrity. Elijah, courage. John, the apostle, love. Job, patience. Abraham, there are two words, faith and obedience. And with this faith and obedience, we're going to follow an outline, and the outline we're going to take is three highlights in the life of Abraham. He believed when he knew not where. That's the call of faith in this chapter we've just read. And then he believed when he knew not how. The promise of faith. That's chapter 15. We'll get to that tonight. And then he believed when he knew not why. The test of faith in Genesis chapter 22. He believed when he knew not where. And first of all, there's the divine call of God given to us in the first verse of this chapter. But I want you to compare the first verse of this chapter with the 31st verse of chapter 11. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abraham's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan, and they went as far as Haran and settled there. Now, if we had nothing but the Old Testament, nothing but Genesis, we would almost gather from taking these two verses that Terah took his family and left Ur of the Chaldees and went down and settled at Haran. Now, Haran is still part of Mesopotamia. They had not arrived in Canaan. But we get a commentary on these two verses when we turn to the book of Acts. And Stephen, in his message in the book of Acts in chapter 7, gives us the commentary from the Spirit of God that makes us understand just exactly what took place when this divine call came to Abram. Verses 2 and 3 of Acts chapter 7. That, in comparison with the verses that we've just read, give us the idea of how Abraham was called. Verse 2, and he said, "Hear me, brethren and fathers, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. He said to him, depart from your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you." Now, when you read the first verse of chapter 5 of Genesis, you find that they're already in Haran. And here's God speaking to them. The divine call that God gave to Abram was when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, and he was called to leave that country and to go out. And notice, he did not go all the way, and he did not completely obey God in that command. God said, leave his country. We're reading in verse 1 of chapter 12 of Genesis. He was to leave his country, he was to leave his relatives, and he was to leave his house. He was not to take his father with him. He was not to take Lot, his nephew, with him. Those were to be left behind. But there was only the partial idea of obeying God, and he only went to Haran. He did not go all the way. There was no further communication between God and Abraham until after there was complete obedience. When God called, and we think of Abraham, and rightly so, of the fact that Abraham was one that believed God and obeyed God, and he did. But he was human, just like we are, see? And when we think of Abraham and put him up on a pedestal as the idea of the fact of how obedient he was to God, we remember that he was as human as we are, and there was partiality in first obeying God. He didn't completely obey God as he was instructed to do so and to leave. He separated only part of the way. And then we find, as we think of this, there's our call. The call today comes to us, as we find in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the gospel call. That's the call to salvation. And if there's anyone here this morning that has never trusted Jesus Christ, and you're still carrying that heavy load of burden, here's the call that God gives. That divine call that says, come, I will take that burden. But I want you to notice something here that I think so often we neglect and we overlook. Immediately following that verse is the 29th verse, which says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." The gospel call is followed immediately by the service call. You see, too often we think of the fact of the call to service as something different entirely. Because of the world in which we live and because of the way we designate people, we so often talk about the missionary as the servant of God. And so we think of him as different than I am, who is just a businessman or living at home or a housewife. See? When we turn to the Word of God, that's completely false. When God called for the idea of salvation, he immediately called for service. If I have come and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I have come as his servant just as much. Whether I'm a businessman, a housewife, or if the further service that God calls is to go out as a missionary, that's all right. That's part of it. But I've already been called as a servant of God. And the idea to call the missionary a servant of God with the thought in mind, and sometimes this comes in, not always, but sometimes this comes in, with the thought in mind that that person is different than I am. He's a servant and I'm not. We're all servants as we're called of God. And here was Abraham. He was called, but he didn't completely follow. And that's what happens to us so often. We follow the first call and we leave because we want salvation. But we neglect the next call because that is included right along with it, to be a servant of God as well. regardless of where he has placed us. So there was divine call, first of all. And then there was the divine claim upon Abraham. And this includes separation. Now notice the cost of this separation as far as Abraham was concerned. He was to leave his country, his relatives, and his house. That was the call, and that was the cost that it was to Abraham. The Christian life is worth what it costs you. The Christian life is worth what it costs you. And too often we're not prepared to do that. We're not prepared for that cost. In our world today, as far as Christianity is concerned, in the professing church, there's too much of non-separation. We dabble along with the things of the world and keep one foot in Christianity and one foot in the world. It never works. And this is what Abraham was trying to do, see? He didn't want to leave all that was familiar to him and go off. He wanted both. He wanted what God offered to him. He wanted all the blessings that God said would be his. But he also wanted to keep his foot there where everything was familiar. And you know, we're exactly the same way. We're afraid to completely cut, and so we dabble. I wonder, how much is there a separation in our lives? Or do when people look at me and they see all that I'm doing and why actions and so on, they can't tell the difference between me and the person who is really a Christian living out for God? There's the contrast, you see. There must be that contrast and that separation. Now notice, you see, we talk about the fact of the cost, and there is a cost. But notice the compensation. You see, God never calls us to do something and that it costs us without compensating for it. And he compensated as far as Abraham was concerned. Notice verse 3. He says, leave your country, I will make you a great nation. You leave what was behind, and I'll make something greater for you. See? Here's the start. Here's the birth of that nation that we're talking about. Here's the promise of the birth of the nation. Secondly, he was to leave his relatives and then heavenly blessings that would rest upon him completely. I will bless you. All the heavenly blessings that would be his. And then notice he says, leave your house. And the Lord said, I will make a new house for you, the house of Israel. And that house is the house that's going to be developed as we think of this nation. But besides all these personal and material blessings that were there as far as Abram was concerned, think of all the spiritual blessings that were his. Notice the last part of verse 2, and you shall be a blessing. The last part of verse 3, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the blessings that were his as he left. Not only the material, not only the personal blessings, but the spiritual blessings that were his as he obeyed. And then notice there's something else that Abraham had. And every one of us who have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord have exactly that same blessing. And that is that he was called the friend of God. There are three different references in the Word of God to the fact that Abram was called the friend of God. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 7, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8, and then in James chapter 2 and verse 25. Abram had the distinction of having a complete fellowship with God in such a way that they were friends with each other. And as you go through the life of Abraham, you see God saying, will I not show my friend what I'm going to do? Will I not communicate to him my action against Sodom and Gomorrah? And he did. And if you and I are called the friend of God, he does exactly the same thing for us. All that communication that can be ours as we fellowship with him. So there was a divine call. Then there was a divine claim upon Abraham. And now notice, as we come to verses 7 and 8, there was the divine consecration. Abraham finally, verses 4 through 6, left Haran and went down into Canaan, where God had told him to go in the first place. And once he had done that, now the obedience is complete. He has completely cut himself off as far as the rest of the family is concerned, and he has moved down into that land which he had never been to before. And as he does so, their further communication comes in verse 7. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, after the complete obedience, God comes to Abraham and says, to your descendants, I will give this land. That's interesting. He just walked in to a brand new land that he'd never been in before. And immediately God says, all of this land is going to be yours. Go through the life of Abraham and find out how much of that land did he actually have. The only thing that Abraham actually had was the plot that he bought to bury his wife Sarai. That was the only land that he actually owned as far as Abraham was concerned. And the Lord said to him, all of this land is going to be yours. And immediately notice three things that took place in the life of Abraham after that promise was given to him. The last of verse 7, so he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. As soon as God had come to him with this promise and the complete obedience, we find here's Abraham being a worshiper. He builds an altar to the Lord. He's a worshiper of God. Secondly, notice, he pitched his tent in verse 8, and when he proceeded from there to the mountain to the east and so on, he pitched his tent at Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. He built an altar. That was permanent. But he only pitched his tent. He recognized the fact that he was a pilgrim and he had no continuing city down here. So first of all, he was a worshiper. Secondly, he was a pilgrim. And then notice the third thing about Abram. And he called upon the name of the Lord. He recognized his dependence upon God amidst all the enemy that was around about him and all these new surroundings. He was a man of prayer. What lessons for us as we consider the fact that Abraham was called of God? He believed God and moved out when he didn't know where he was going. There was a divine call, there was a divine claim upon him, and then there was the divine consecration. As you and I obey the divine call of God and recognize that as we do so, God has a divine claim upon us, then there will be that divine consecration as we recognize that we worship him who has done so much for us. And we are pilgrims in this land. We're only traveling through. Our home is up there. And we recognize our dependence upon him as we spend time in prayer.